103.2 Dublin City FM. This is Mental Wealth with Brian Green. Get in touch with the programme. Email mentalwealth@briangreen.com. On today's programme, I'll be talking with a director of a brilliant play that's coming up this September 10th in St. Catherine's Church, Thomas Street. It's called Bring Me Back Alive. I'll be talking with Patricia McCann, the director, Angus O'Snodig TD, Councillor Karina Nidalig, and Senator Moira Devine. That's coming up in a few minutes' time. First of all, let me go through some upcoming events in chronological order, nearest first. And this Thursday night, the 17th of August, in the Brackenstown Adult Education Centre, St. Cronan's School in Swords, Recovery Self-Help Method Ireland are having a meeting. It's on at 8:30 to 10 o'clock, and more details from recoveryireland.ie. eHealth Ireland, the eHealth Ireland Ecosystem Conference is on in DCU September 4th. It's a free admission, it's on all day, and it's all about mental wealth and health and well-being. It's free in, and the date is September 4th. Details at eventbrite.ie. Ireland, remove the blinkers. We need to talk about gambling. It's organised by Lynn Boylan, MEP, and it's coming up on September 14th in the Gandon Suite, Davenport Hotel, Merrion Square. That's September 14th. It's free and you can register on eventbrite.ie. Your Teenager and Alcohol is in the County Library, Talla, Dublin 24. It's on Tuesday, the 19th of September from 6:30 to 8, and the workshop's hosted by Froiga. It's for parents and guardians of children and teenagers. As the earlier you start talking about these things, the more likely it is to sink in. That's September 19th, County Library in Talla. Swift Historical Tours. There's a couple of tours coming up. They might be booked out for the September ones, but if you look on Eventbrite for Swift Historical Tours, there are some more tours coming up in November, closer to Jonathan Swift's 350th birthday. So more details on that at stpatricks.ie or eventbrite.ie. Mental Health in the Workplace conference is coming up on October 25th, and it's going to be on in the CHQ building, the Galleria North Wall Quay. Tickets are £215 and details at Eventbrite. The speaker details are not up at the moment. A really good conference coming up on November 16th. This is a date for your diary. Technology for Wellbeing 2017. It's by Reach Out Ireland. Well worth going along to. I've been to two of these in the past and they're absolutely brilliant. And that's Thursday the 16th of November. It's all day and it's on this year in the National Gallery of Ireland, Merrion Square West in Dublin 2. They're the events that you should note for your diary. Now to today's interview. I'm in St. Catherine's here on Thomas Street with Senator Moira Devine, the writer of the play and director, I think, Patricia McCann, Trina Nidalig, councillor with Sinn Féin here in Dublin 8, and Angus O'Snodig TD for the Dublin 12 area. I don't know the name of the constituency.
It's Dublin South Central.
Dublin South Central. So there's a play coming up. We're going to go to Patricia first and just tell us what the play is all about.
Well, the play, I wrote the play 5 years ago when the rate of suicide was escalating, and it still hasn't stopped, to be honest with you. But the reaction to the play has been fantastic. We've performed in schools and theatres. Theatre company in Cork now have now taken it on, and they are going to have their own cast doing it around the Cork area. And the play is sponsored by people, and we're very thankful for Sinn Féin now to come on board and sponsor it. They've sponsored it in Ballyferma, and now they've sponsored here, and now I think they're sponsoring it to go to Darndale, which is fantastic. The play has saved people's lives. It helps people to go forward for help, but it also helps those that are left to deal with the aftermath.
What is the message of the play?
Well, the message of the play is talk to somebody. You know, speak to somebody, don't be afraid, you know, and it gives people hope, you know. And the review, we've thousands of reviews now of the play, and not one negative review, you know, and it's been called on now for the play to go into all schools, all secondary schools, you know.
It's called Bring Me Back Alive. Can you just tell me about that title?
Well, Bring Me Back Alive, we feel that young people especially don't realise when they are in the dark place that what they're going to about to do is final. You know, they don't realise that they've no way back. You know, if they decide to take their own life, you know, that's it. It's final. It's the end of their story, as in a line from the play, like, you know. And I think the majority of them want to be brought back. You know, they don't want to do what they want to do. And if they got the help, they wouldn't be doing it.
Excellent. The call to action is to talk to somebody, Senator Maura Devine. Is there services there for people to talk to?
Unfortunately not. I don't mean to be negative, but having worked over 30 years in psychiatry, I know the mental health services and Vision for Change has not been implemented. Recent studies and PQs have showed that 47% vacancies in the mental health, in particular child and adolescent mental health. They've closed down Darrellin, 11 beds, shooting themselves in the foot. Every day I went into the Shannon and I said two words, Darrellin, to remind them, and I said it every single day. But I don't know if they care. I don't know if they know the reality. The reality on the ground here in the Liberties in recent, a spate of young men suicide, and it's really affected us all. We're having a meeting next week, Lacalia, to gather people together of the area that are affected and those thinking about it. But we need to hold and embrace each other, and that's what this meeting intends to do. But 14% in the early 90s was pumped into mental health. Our mental health issues have exploded, especially over the years of the crisis, the years of austerity. We were second in suicide rate behind Greece. It's now 6.7% in total. And of that, a meagre 0.5% is given to child and adolescent mental health. I just think we need community-based wellbeing hubs, and I will keep pushing for that. It is of, by and for the community. It is families, it is friends that will give the help, that will actually listen to people, and we need to train them and support them in doing that. Otherwise, we're looking at this increasing rate of suicide among our young men. While it's stabilised elsewhere, among our young men of 15 to 24, it is increasing.
We hear sometimes that there shouldn't be knee-jerk reactions, there shouldn't be quick fixes. Possibly in this situation, there absolutely should be. What are those fixes? Is it money?
Well, everything is money, I suppose, but also is enabling communities to mind each other, to care for each other and look out for each other. Perhaps having mobile clinics, perhaps having mobile therapists available and calling on the young people to attend and to talk. They're very resilient when that you actually empower them to be resilient. They're very powerful in themselves and they recognise mental health issues. Of all of us, the young people, they say to me, the one thing that is really important to them is their mental well-being. And it's well-being that we need to, I suppose, impress on people. Mental ill health, we need to say to people about their strengths. And it's those strengths that we need to nurture and allow to blossom.
You have the advantage of having seen the play before?
I have.
What was your reaction on seeing it the first time?
Okay, for a nurse that the heart is torn out of once you go into training school a long time ago, I was tearful, along with everybody else. I was tearful, and we loved Patricia and the cast. Ballyfermotin was held in, and we loved them that night. They absolutely exploded out the emotions in people. It was raw, but it was extremely powerful and empowering.
I'm going to ask a question to Angus O'Snodick, TD. What is Sinn Féin doing sponsoring a mental health play? I don't mean that in a sarcastic kind of way.
The reason we're sponsoring this play is we believe as many people in Ireland should see it as possible. It isn't for political gain. And if the people who are coming, it's a free event. If people who are coming to the event are from all walks of life, all parts of the community. In this area, kind of, this is a big undertaking. There's 500 tickets have already been booked by people from this area, and there's other areas clamouring for it. Darndale, and we're hoping to have it in Crumlin. We've already had it in Ballyfermot, and there's such a powerful message in the play. I think kind of if, especially young people, if they see and hear it, kind of that will save lives. But I also think that the parents, the teachers, and that who come, also get a flavour of what young people are going through the play. And if I could have more venues, I would have no problem at all. The communities have been very good to Sinn Féin over the years, and this is part of us giving back. I shouldn't be the one, or the party shouldn't be the ones funding this play. This should be put on by the state in every single school in the country, or it should be put on by Dublin City Council. Cork Council funded this play kind of for a number of venues. We asked Dublin City Council to do it, so that it wasn't party political, but in the absence of other backers, we said, no, happy days, get this out, get as many people to it, and get the message kind of to hit home as it does, just by virtue of the people who are on the stage.
Not wanting to throw plaudits at the Sinn Féin party, but you seem to have a thing when it comes to mental health that you're very serious about it. Your deputy president is the spokesperson for mental health. You wear the green ribbons in May and beyond May quite often. What is it that Sinn Féin has picked up on this topic that others seem to have ignored?
If anybody who kind of is a politician wants to come to my constituency office from Monday to Friday, any day, they will see the state of mental health in Ireland, the chaos that the crisis brought to people who are trying to cope with their lives because of housing, because of lack of jobs, because of other crises in their life. And they come in and they're crying, they're breaking down in front of you. It is not good for adults to be coming and crying in front of me. I've never met some of them before, and that's the state of mental health. We also are part of the community. Our members live in the community, and they're crying out for help, and we'll do everything we can just to help people, and that's what we were set up to do.
Councillor Creena Nidolig, what is going on here in the Liberties? What are you coming across in your work in the council and on the streets as you work here?
It's exactly as Angus had said. We see firsthand the results of neglect in working class areas in particular. And the reason why this play is so powerful, and the reason why I support this play, and I'm so glad we've got the opportunity to bring it into the constituency that I represent, is we're just trying to tell people that it's okay not to feel okay, to tell people that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But particularly in working class communities, we need to teach young men in particular that it's okay to talk. It's okay to tell people you don't feel okay. And that's why it's so important that this play comes to, particularly to this area, and I'm so happy that Patricia is actually accommodating us to be able to do that, because as Angus said, at my clinic people come in and it's sometimes you're so worried about them. Like I actually had to go and take care of my own mental health, because you're so depressed, you feel so useless sometimes when you know that, oh my God, this person is actually suicidal because they're homeless, because they can't get a job, because they literally don't have the pay packet to feed their children. And the kind of the results of that, sometimes we don't see it. And then what happens is people take their own lives, and then there's, you know, people are all sad for a while. But what we need to do is we need to get to people before that. We need to be able to teach people, and young people in particular, that it's okay not to feel okay. And I know we have to keep saying that to them, particularly in working class community among young men. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I live next door to a church, two young women with children were buried through suicide. Two young women within the same week who left young families behind them. That speaks volume for the lack of resources or the lack of services. I know from own family members, I also know because the constituents that I represent, how impossible it is to get the help if you have a young person who's suffering from mental health issues, who has suicidal thoughts. It is impossible near impossible. And when you do, it's weeks down. That we're talking about immediate action. If someone's bleeding out on the street, a paramedic will come and they will treat them and they will put a bandage on you get treated. Mental health is just, in my opinion, that's a bleeding out as well. Like, it needs to be treated straight away, and instead it's just kicked down the road.
Apart from the critical and much needed clinical services that may not be there, what about community facilities and utilities like youth clubs and drop-in centres and things like that? Is the council in a position to provide youth cafes or, you know, things like that?
Well, see, the council do, but to me, this is like, you need trained people to do this. I mean, the Dublin City Council have community workers, and they do a lot of great work in the community with help the likes of Patricia and other people to be able to go into communities and speak to them and provide services. But they're not trained mental health people. This is the problem. We're hemorrhaging those that have this experience because we don't pay them properly. I mean, Darragh Lynn was closed because lack of nurses or a lack of... those nurses all emigrated. So let's entice them back, or let's, you know, I know there's an organisation here called Shannon's Hope Line, and that was set up by the mother of Shannon, Shannon Kelleher, who took her own life at a very, very young age. And the work that she's doing in this area by reaching out and teaching people how to reach out. Because, I mean, you need to know what to say. You need to know what to do. So I think that's something that we could do, but we need more resources in order that people who are trained to speak to people, to tell them what to do. But we also need the likes of Darragh Lynn, we need the likes of CAMHS. They need to be resourced properly. I mean, the primary care units should all have a certain mental health clinic. But also, if you could present in James's Hospital at the moment and you have suicidal thoughts, to me, so many go in there and they leave and they're dead. Like, we have a case in our own area here, a family who do great work trying to reach out to people, and their son presented in James's Hospital, was put into the unit and took his own life in there. So I think mental health is the poor cousin when it comes to any of the health services.
Going back to the writer and director of the play, Patricia McCann, can you just tell people, if they were to come along to the play, what they would kind of experience? What are the kind of takeaway moments?
Well, the story is set in a youth centre in modern day Dublin, and it's a group of friends that are speaking about one of their friends that had died by suicide. Now, the play goes on to speak about, you know, the fun that they had, but also questions why did he do it? Like, you know, they can't kind of get it around their heads why he would have done what he'd done. And then it leads on to speaking about his family and his mother, and then in the second act we actually see the mother on stage where she's in a church and she's looking for her son, you know, and she's kind of angry with God and she's taking a breakdown because she can't believe what her son has gone, like, you know. And then it actually leads into them where they're having a memorial. The friends are having a memorial service for him. And I can't really tell you the rest of it because I'd be giving the whole lot away.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But it leaves everyone with hope, you know. And it really does send them towards help, which I'm very happy about. You know, that was the reason I wrote her in the first place, you know, when there were so many suicides.
So tickets have been booked out here, and there might be a chance for some people to go on a reserve list. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. There was 500 tickets printed for Sunday on the 10th of September, but they're all gone out now. The 500 tickets are gone, but there is a reserve list, and anyone can contact either myself through our Facebook page or Angus, the Sinn Féin office up in Ballyferma. The number is on the page, but you'll get that number. You could Google that number anyway.
Yeah, that's Bring Me Back Alive on Facebook is the page.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe finally to our TD who's with us. What do you think should be on the agenda in the midpoint of this Dáil? What can they do to affect change rapidly?
Well, one is to employ kind of the professionals that can help not only in hospital settings, not only in kind of the likes of CAMHS and that, but also in the community who can reach out to adolescents, teenagers, young adults, and society and community in general. But also, it's not just the professionals, it's also getting into the schools from a very early age and making sure that young people in primary school and secondary school understand that can talk. We also have to deal as a society with challenges that are facing us to do with bullying and that. And that's a change of attitude. It's not just money. You have to change the conditions that people are working in who are trying to deliver these services as well. You can't fix it overnight, but you can try to start from the bottom up. And I think you will save a lot of lives if the government is clever and invests cleverly.
Back to the play, it's been on the go for about 5 or 6 years. It's been developing over time. What are the chances that we can get it out to the north side?
Well, we're actually going to Darndale with the help of Sinn Féin. We're back in Darndale. We'll be in Darndale on the 22nd of September. I'd like to also say, can I say something about the cast at this stage? They have been brilliant down through the years. This is a young cast.
Have you held the kind of same cast throughout, or are they?
Yeah, the majority of them. Two of our cast have been in Fair City. Two of them have been in Red Rock. One of them is in the film Cardboard Gangsters. You know, so they're brilliant. Every one of them, very, very talented young people that came through the drama school in Bull Alley, which, you know, is brilliant as well for the area. And they are so talented, and they've given up their time so many times, you know, for absolutely nothing. Like, you know, they've taken days off work, they've done everything, and I can't thank them enough, you know. And I think what they do now and what they're bringing to the stage now is we like to bring plays into communities. My plays are all about issues that affect people. And I love to bring them into communities that wouldn't normally be, as they say, theatre people, you know. So we would have hundreds of people coming. I mean, 500 tickets now are gone to people that wouldn't normally be theatre people. So I think that in itself speaks for itself.
Wonderful. Maybe people could make a trip out to Darndale on the 22nd. I'd say, let me guess, tickets would be from the Lord Mayor on that one, would it?
I'd say so. That's his constituency.
So Denise Mitchell TD or Micheál McDonagh, is it? Yeah.
We're hoping also that we'll have a venue in Crumlin in October, early October, just to confirm the venue to put it on again, another part of this area. And the more communities that see it, the more I think Patricia and her cast is going to be asked to put it on, which is part of the idea. And as she said, that the Cork crew, the Cork, are going to adapt it for with the Cork accents, I think.
Yeah, they are, because there has been huge suicides in Cork as well, like, you know, and a man that came to see it up here in 2 years ago when it was on in Kevin Street from Cork, Joe Dalton. He came to see it and he was blown away by it, and he said, I'm going to get that to Cork. And he did. We've performed 3 times in the Firk and Crane Theatre in Cork. And then we had theatre companies coming to see it, and Darren Kelleher of the Actors' Vision in Cork. He said he was floored by it, absolutely floored by it. So he asked for the script.
One other thing, when it's here in St. Catherine's Church on the 10th, there will be support groups here to give advice and talk to people.
Yes, Sinn Féin have organised for Pieta House to come along to support people, you know, counsellors and information leaflets and whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that you can as always call the Samaritans on 116 123 if anything in this discussion has jolted your mind to make that call. I'm going to thank Moira, Karina, Angus and Patricia for your time today, and what a wonderful story. I do hope to get along on the night myself. And to play out with some archive this week, we remember 50 years ago yesterday the introduction of the Marine Offences Act and Radio Caroline. To link that to mental health, Radio Caroline throughout the 1670s closely linked to loving awareness. LA, an attitude very similar to compassion-focused therapy, which is now popular in mental health.
From a point at sea to the circles in your mind, this is the new Radio Caroline. In the beginning, there was darkness, and the spirit of D.A. reared its head in habitual pattern, preying on the mind of man, oppressing him. And then one man turned to himself and said, in a voice free from fear, "Let there be, L.A.
I think I am. Therefore I am. I think."
And for him, D.A. vanished, and the light of everlasting L.A. began to spread from his point of view onto the world. And his fellow men took notice. Some mocked the man, saying, "Thou art a fool. Look what thou hast given up. Thou art surely the all-time sucker." And the man smiled, for he knew he had given up nothing, but had in fact gained the world. And gradually, it became less difficult for the man to relate in the spirit of L.A. continuously. And more men took notice of him and saw that L.A. was good and asked, "What made him different?" And the man said, "You make me different from yourself, for verily we are all the same. Know thyself and fear not, for there is nothing to fear but fear itself. Above all, do unto others as you would do unto yourself, and the spirit of L.A. will forever guide your life." And the people all saw that it was good and became one with the man.
There you go, man. Keep as cool as you can. Face piles of trials with smiles. It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave. So keep on thinking free.
We live in a world where injustice, poverty, hunger, D.A. are the norms. A world in which a man is judged on one thing alone.
Money.
And it's getting worse all the time. But is it all necessary?
Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live and live?
There is one other way. L.A. Costs absolutely nothing. Try it. You'll find LA is a happy way.
Loving awareness, Radio Caroline. Love and good music, Radio Caroline.
This has been Mental Wealth on 103.2 Dublin City FM. We'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, do take care, stay safe. Bye-bye.
Love and good music, Radio Caroline.